It's Ladies Night. Thank you for tuning in to Breaking Chains Young Adult Talk on YAT Radio, featuring the Proverbs 31 ladies. Join our host, Elder Kimberly Buford, Associate Pastor of New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia, where Apostle Kyron B. Buford is the pastor, and some of the most anointed women of God, in discussion on what God wants us to be and how to become that Proverbs 31 woman. Let's break some chains with the Proverbs 31 ladies.
Praise God, and thank you for joining us tonight at the Breaking Chains of Proverbs 31 Ladies Night on YAT Radio. This is Pastor Kimberly Buford. Let us go before the throne of grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Daddy, we love you today. We love you. We adore you. We bless you. We glorify you. You are wonderful. You are holy. You are awesome. You are right. You are good. You are. You said, I am that I am. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are God all by yourself. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you, God, for keeping us in all of our ways. We thank you, Lord, for the many, many blessings you've given us. Lord, just since we woke up this morning, the many blessings that you've given us just since we opened our eyes this morning, God. Lord God, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't praise you enough. Lord, we will spend eternity blessing your name. We will spend eternity giving you all glory, honor, and praise. Use us tonight, Daddy. Use us tonight. Give us your heart. Give us your eyes. Give us your mind. Give us the desire to do the work that you called us to do. And not just do it, God, but do it to the level that is pleasing to you and to your heart, God. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, allow these words to travel around the world to do what you intended them to do. Your word says that they won't come back void, but they will accomplish what they were intended to do. Lord, they're intended to break chains, to destroy yokes, and to set the captives free. We thank you, God, for what you're getting ready to do. We love you and adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, let's just focus on who God is and his attributes. He said, I am, I am, I am that I am. Yeah.
Come on, right now, just focus your mind on him. Come on. Everybody with hands raised, just focus your mind on him. Come on.
'Cause he's the I am today. I'm the Almighty God, and I am the one for whom nothing is too hard. I am your shepherd, and I am the door. I am the good news to the bound and the poor. I am. That's what he's saying to you, he says. I am the ram in the bush for Abraham, and I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your redeemer, the beginning and the end. I am. Messiah, David's offspring.
Whatever it is you need, whatever it is you need today, that is who I am. Whatever it is you need from me. And I say to you, I say, yes, God. Yes, God. We have to get to a point where we remember that. Pastor Rosie said, Pastor Rosie, you on the line?
I am. Good evening.
Hey, Pastor. How you doing?
Good, thank you. I'm blessed.
Amen. Pastor Rosie said something last night in our church, in our other Bible study. She was talking about, we were talking about sometimes you just need to be reminded of who God is and the things that God said.
Amen.
And I think about that. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to just hear it again. We need to hear it again. Sometimes we need to hear it said a different way. We need to have it framed in a different way. Just so God, sometimes God just needs to jog our memory. Amen?
Amen.
It's almost sometimes he needs to slap us upside the head. Hey, didn't I tell you I got you? Sometimes it's like God just needs to remind us. He just needs to slap us upside the head for a second and say, yo, I told you, I got this. And that's what God did to me the other day when I was studying, and I was reading the scripture, and it said that Jesus gave his disciples power to cast out demons and heal all manner of illness. And I just stopped. I said this last night, and I just feel like I need to say it again. I just stopped. And I was just like, it was like the light bulb came on. I had been studying. And, you know, all these years I've been reading the Bible. I've been studying the Bible. I've been reading the Bible. I've been studying the Bible. And 2 days ago, the revelation slapped me upside the head. He said that he gave his disciples power, authority to cast out demons, and
Amen.
To heal all manner of illness. Period. He never said he took it back.
Amen.
Period.
Yes, amen.
And we running around here sick and bound up with demons and
amen.
All manner of illness. And a lot of those illnesses are demon-induced. You know, if you don't believe
amen.
It, that's between you and God, but if that's the truth anyhow. A lot of illnesses that we end up manifesting, a lot of the illnesses that end up manifesting in our body are demon-induced.
and just need to get delivered. But we end up going through all of this stuff that we don't have to. Think about this. When your children go through the issues that they go through, and sometimes you try, you know, teenagers can be so hard-headed, and you try to tell them, baby, you don't have to go through that. Do X, Y, and Z. But, of course, they so hard-headed. They want to do it their way. And so they go on and do it their way. And then it rolls around one day. They end up getting hurt, you know, or end up going through the difficult time that you knew was coming. And then when they come to you, you look at them in your mind, whether you say it or not, it's like, why didn't you let me help you? I told you the easier way. And it's like God does us like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Daddy is like, I try to tell you the easier way of doing this. There is an easier way to do this. There really is an easier way to do this.
Yeah. May I say something?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I will say one thing. Two things I want to say. The first, to respond to your last comment about children not listening. Well, first of all, most children don't listen to the one that's closest to them, and that's their parent.
Amen.
You can say it over and over and over and over again, and they will look at you, but they're not receiving what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Somebody else comes along who have no vested interest in them, say the same thing, and then they act like it's the first time they heard it. I tell you the truth. Oh, that used to upset me.
But we do God the same way.
And that's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. And to respond to your first comment, I was thinking, you know, God made us free.
Yes.
We were covered in his glory.
Yes.
We had no cares.
Yep.
Disease, didn't know what that was. Never heard
wow.
of that.
Wow.
Never, didn't know what that was.
Wow.
Loneliness, had no concept of what that was.
Wow.
Problems, what's a problem? What do you mean, problem? What is that?
Wow.
You know, we had no concept of any of that stuff until sin entered in. And can you imagine what Adam and Eve, I can't even begin to imagine what Adam and Eve felt when they took on sin. Oh, my gosh. The very DNA
so heavy.
They didn't know what it was. They'd never seen it. They never smelled it. They never heard of it before.
Yeah.
But more than that, can you imagine what God felt?
Yeah.
Oh, just
separation.
Like what you were saying about children, you know?
Yeah, that separation, that division that sin comes in. And you know that's what I'm saying, on both sides. But I'm so glad that you kind of brought that up, because that's the perfect segue into our topic tonight. I'm kind of veering from the Beatitudes, but not really. In my spirit, I feel like we need to really talk about compassion tonight.
Okay.
And that's what God had for Adam and Eve. Because you know what? Honestly, he could have let them die then. He could have wiped out everything and started all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But he had compassion for humankind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason he showed Adam how to sacrifice. That's the reason he showed him how to shed the blood. That's the reason he dressed him in the animal skins. The first seamstress was God. God was the first seamstress. The first piece of clothing was made by God. When he showed them how to kill the animal, and then he dressed them in the animal skins. He showed him something had to die. And in that he had compassion on them mm-hmm. and on all of humankind, because that's when God started his elaborate plan to draw us all back to himself.
Yeah, it was already instituted, but he started it. You're right.
That's right. And let's talk about the definition of compassion. Compassion is a form of love. I'm looking mm-hmm. at the a Bible dictionary, and it talks about human disposition that fuels acts of kindness and mercy. Compassion, a form of love, is aroused within us when we are confronted with those who suffer or are vulnerable. Compassion often produces action to alleviate the suffering, but sometimes geographical distances or lack of means prevent people from acting upon their compassionate feelings. Compassion is not uniquely Christian response to suffering, even though Christians have unique reasons for nurturing their compassionate dispositions. Blah, 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 mm-hmm. this and the other. The bottom line is God showed us compassion. That's a form of love.
Mm-hmm.
That compassion. Let's think about compassion for a minute. Let's think about one of the things that Jesus said that shows the compassion, the heart of God. It shows the heart of God. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy.
Yes.
And my burden is light. Isn't that beautiful? Every time I hear that verse, it makes me just want to lay down in Daddy's lap.
Amen.
It just, you know, I think I used this analogy, it might have been last week, but it reminds me of when I would go into my daddy's room when I was a little girl, and he would be playing the piano in the middle of the night, nothing on but the light over the piano. And I would, it might be 2 o'clock in the morning, Daddy would be playing. That was just how my daddy, that's how my daddy is. He just gets up and plays in the middle of the night. And he had a big recliner in his bedroom, and I would go and climb in the recliner and curl up while he played. And that was my comfort. I was comforted mm-hmm. by hearing him play the piano. I knew my daddy was close, and I knew mm-hmm. I was comfortable. I knew I was protected. I had that security. That was my security blanket, hearing my daddy play and being mm-hmm. in his presence. Yes, that's it, being in his presence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we seek now, to be in our daddy's presence. Isn't mm-hmm. that awesome? We seek to be in our daddy's presence. That's what we look
Amen.
For.
Amen.
That's what we look for, to be in our daddy's presence. What do you think about that, Pastor? What do you think about that desire to be in the presence of daddy?
Well, if you have a relationship with him, first of all, you that relationship will cause you to feel that way. That relationship, you will cause you to want to draw nearer to him, to be in his presence all the time as much as possible. If you have no relationship, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know how you can have those same feelings, you know, that desire.
Well, you know what? Now I'm going to jump in there, because some of the time I didn't know God. There was a time before I got saved and didn't know God that I actually got peace and comfort. I actually got peace and comfort by going in my own, in the best way I knew how. That's the only way I know how to say it. In the best mm-hmm. way I knew how, by mm-hmm. going to him.
Mm-hmm.
The best way I knew how. I would cry out to him in the best way I knew how. And you know what? It wasn't like, now, I must say, I'm going to admit, it wasn't like once I got in relationship with him, it was a different But for somebody who didn't know him to feel some level of comfort.
And you wanted it. You wanted it all the time.
Yes. Yes. But I didn't know how to get it at that point. I just, you know, sometimes you can accidentally hit up on the comfort of God, not even knowing what you're doing, just crying out to God and not really knowing how you're crying out to God. Am I making sense?
Yeah, because what you said, he has compassion, so he shows up.
He has compassion. That's right.
Because
he
saw the purity of your heart.
That's
it. And if you were crying out in earnest,
that's right.
Then he will show up. The heart that draws him, right?
Amen. And that's how he draws you to himself. Ultimately, that's how he ultimately continues to draw you to himself.
Yes,
I
yes.
love God. He's so wonderful. Yeah. And just like that scripture I just read, when come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, my goodness, that's such a promise. I don't know about you,
yes,
Pastor Rose, but some days I am weary.
Like today with me.
Yeah. Some days you just be weary, and you just got it feels like the weight of the world on your shoulders. But Jesus said, come, take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart.
Right.
He said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you.
Right.
Just dump all that stuff. Just drop it all. Just let it roll on off and come on over here and sit down next to me. Come sit down
and
next
actually,
to me.
Actually, that's what we are to do. We are not to carry anything and to carry those loads is actually a form of rebellion.
Yes, it is.
Because
now you're trying to be God.
Yeah, I can do it myself.
You're trying to be God. That's right. I don't need you, God. And you know what? Some people look at it as bothering God by taking everything to him in prayer. But isn't that what he told us to do? To bring everything to him? Cast your cares upon me. What is a care? Anything that I'm concerned with. Right?
Isn't it? I know my son did, but have your children ever said to you that they had a real problem, and I mean they were kind of hurt by it, and you asked them, why didn't you come to me? Well, I didn't want to bother you.
Exactly.
Didn't that make you want to?
Yes. Yes. And it's you're not. And then as a parent. And that's really good, Pastor Rosa. That's really good. As a parent, you sit back and go, you're not bothering me. This is why I'm here. Now, if we as earthly parents get that exasperated with our children that don't come to us when we feel like they should, imagine how God feels.
I know.
We carrying these big old boulders.
I know.
We carrying big trees. Mountains on our backs. And God is standing there. I can just imagine God sitting on his throne just shaking his head, saying, what is she down there doing? What is she trying to do? Now, she knows she wasn't married. She wasn't made to carry that. What in the world is she doing? I can just imagine God sitting in heaven just watching us carry this stuff around day after day. Going to bed with
and
big
angels.
And the angels
right, and
were
the
sitting
angels
around watching.
Are saying, yeah, the angels are saying, why are they doing that? I don't understand.
Exactly. especially the ministering angels. I'm so glad you said that.
Yes.
Especially the ministering angels that God has just for us.
Amen.
The ministering angels that are there in heaven just to minister, that God has just to come and see about us. But we don't ask.
I know.
He said, ask, seek, and knock.
Amen.
That's what God said. Ask, seek, and knock. If you do it, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Isn't that what daddies do? Isn't that what daddies do? But here we are trying to do it on our own again. We're trying to be so independent. We're trying to be big girls and big boys.
Yeah. But, you know, I totally agree with you, but I, in the on the other side of that, in defense of it, I want to say that from kindergarten on through university, we are taught in schools, in life, that you must handle things on your own. You know what? My mind just went blank. I wanted to think of some of the sayings that have been spoken over us, and actually, in some cases, we had to memorize them.
And I'm glad you said that, because in the secularized world, that's exactly what we're taught. That is exactly
that's what I mean.
What we're
taught. It's ingrained in us.
In the world that we're raised in. But in this world system is diametrically opposed to the things of God.
Yes.
And that's the reason that we must study His Word. We must wash ourselves daily in the water of the Word, because there is no way that we can have the mind of Christ as we function in this secular world that is ruled by the prince of the power of the air. There is no way that we can keep our mind stayed on Jesus, having a heart and a mind stayed on Jesus, without constantly staying immersed in His Word and praying.
Mm-hmm.
It's virtually impossible. We can say it all we want to, but it's not working. It's not happening. It's just really not happening.
The Lord tells us to meditate on His Word, and that's what we're to chew on it, to meditate on it until it becomes a part of us, until we it's like we are one with it, and no one, the winds will come, the storms will come, and nothing will move you, because you know that word is true. But that takes effort, you know. It does.
It takes work. It takes
it
relationship.
Really does.
It takes relationship, and that's really what we've been talking about all year, is building that relationship with God. It's building that deep relationship to where we know within ourselves, just like in being in a marriage relationship, or just like being in a dating relationship, when you know that you are with someone that cares about you. No, I'm going to use a marriage relationship, because there are a lot of people that date God, but they don't want the commitment that comes with it. So it's almost like they're looking for a sugar daddy, because they really don't want to get too committed. Because once you get committed, once you get married, now you have accountability. But long as you're dating, ain't no real accountability. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's no real accountability when you're just dating somebody. You can come and go as you please. But once you make the commitment, once you say, I do, now you're in. You're committed now. You can't jump. You can't step back and do you anymore. You have to be accountable to that other person. And it's the same thing when we get into that relationship with God. When we commit, a lot of people say, "Oh, well, you know, it don't take all of that to serve God." That's because you're still dating.
Right. Yeah.
You still dating? You still looking for a sugar daddy? You ain't got marriage yet. Y'all still dating?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you know, but God is not like most men, because most men, after a while, they get to a point where they be like, okay, you need to make a decision. But actually, mm-hmm. God does. God does tell us we need to make a decision. Now, He's a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to force you to do anything. Holy Spirit
right,
is not
right.
going to force you to do anything. But,
right.
you know, at some point, God says, okay, it's time for you to make a decision, or He's going to step
yeah.
all the way back.
Right.
And let you go on and do you.
Right.
You want to do you, okay. You
right.
go on and do you.
Right. Actually, when you fall in love, you'll do anything.
Isn't that amazing?
You do everything He asks and say, is there anything else I can do for you?
I know, right?
Wow.
But that commitment and falling in love with Jesus, falling in love all over again. Isn't that amazing? Falling in love. You just said that, Rose. When you fall in love with somebody, you will do anything, won't you?
You'll do
when
anything.
You,
you do stupid things. Yes, you'll do anything.
When you fall in love, you tell everybody, don't you?
You talk about
them
all
the
time.
That's
yeah.
who you talk about. That's
yeah,
just
oh,
it.
Here she comes. Oh,
yeah.
Here she comes. You want me talking about him. I don't want to hear
exactly.
about him anymore.
Newlyweds are the worst. They all they do is talk about their spouse. Oh, we went such and such place. Oh, we did such and such thing. You know, they're always talking about them. They look like they in the days. They going through. And you know what? That's how
mm-hmm.
God wants us to talk about Him. He wants us to talk
yeah.
about Him like that all the time. I don't know about you.
Yeah, He desires our worship.
Yeah, he desires
our worship, and that is definitely a form of worship, I tell
yes,
you.
Yes, it is.
Definitely a form.
And you know what? Going back to when we were talking about the Beatitudes, those are characteristics. And when you are in love, when you are married to somebody, my husband and I have been married almost 20 years, and I've taken on his behavior, and he's taken on mine. Things that I used to hate when we got married. We've been together so long, I start doing things his way, and he starts doing things my way. Good, bad, or indifferent. And it's
you
the same thing with God.
One. Yep, you have become one. You have become one.
Exactly. And that's what God wants from our relationship with Him, too. He wants us to be one with Him. He wants to be able to dwell within us to where people see Him and not just us.
That's right.
Reflect Him as the moon reflects the sun. Moon has no light of its own. The light that you see on the moon is a reflection of that comes from the sun. And that's exactly how we're supposed to reflect God.
Yes,
just like
yes.
what we see.
Yeah.
And that's what
and
God
Jesus,
wants to do with us. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and Jesus actually prayed to the Father that same thing in using different words, but it's the same thing, and I'm trying to find it right now. But he actually prayed it to the Father when he was praying to the Father and thanking the Father for all those he had given him, and then he prayed for the others who would come into the fold, the Gentiles, you know. And I wish I could find it right now. But if what you said is what he was praying to the Father, that they become one with
Him. Yes, I remember.
Him
I know what you're talking
he
about.
He is one with Him. Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And that's what that's His desire for us. That is His desire for us, that we be like that. And we're still working on it. We're still working on it. Amen. But I want to go back to talking about compassion again, because I found it, Rosie. I found the one that you were talking about. This mind being you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
That will fit also. Yes.
Yeah. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 2 and 5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to look just like him. Let me throw this one out there at you, dealing with Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies or compassion, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look
better
not
than
every
themselves.
Man to his own things, but every man
yes.
also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself
Amen.
Of no reputation, and took
Amen.
Upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You know, we can just stop right there, because that's what we've been talking about, his compassion, having a heart of mercy,
mm-hmm.
just like God. Just like God has on us, just like God had
Amen.
On us. And honestly, I believe that's one of the reasons that in the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive those who trespass against us. And then later
mm-hmm.
on, it says, because if we don't forgive them that trespass against us, God can't forgive us.
That's right. That's right.
We have to be a reflection of God.
Yeah, because you know what? Oh, my gosh, I just thought about this for the first time just now as you said it.
And by the way, whoever else is on the line, if you want to jump in, please feel free. Amen. Go ahead, Pastor Rosie.
Yeah, I was just going to say that when you come to him, you know, forgive those trespasses. Because if you don't, he cannot forgive you. Because I'm just thinking, why can't he forgive us if we don't forgive the others? But I'm thinking, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm thinking that because if we haven't forgiven, that's sin, and God cannot
yes.
look on sin. You know,
that's it. He can't
that
bless
just came
no
to
sin.
Me for the first time.
He can't
wow.
bless sin.
Wow.
Can I have something? I'm sorry. This is Rochelle.
Jump in.
Hey, how are you? Sorry, I was a little late. But this compassion has been a theme that's been running through a lot of the studies that I've been doing. And one thing that came up was how we don't have compassion for the people closest to us as Christians. That could be our, you know,
Amen.
Our family, our spouses, but also people within the church, how we
uh-huh.
How we just are able to kind of shut it off. Now, it's easy for us to have compassion for the stranger on the street, and, you know, we will
uh-huh.
give from our pocketbooks. We
Come
will,
on now.
You know, we might
That's
even
right.
share the word with them, but when it's time to do that for our family members, it's harder. So.
You're right.
You have to say something on that?
Go ahead.
If you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's so easy for us to give to strangers on the street or any place else because that puffs us up. We can go back and brag
yeah.
about it. You know what? I saw so-and-so, and I gave, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes back to self. And,
you know,
and,
I make a point. Not to tell people
uh-huh.
when I do stuff like that.
Jesus tells us not to. He tells
yeah,
us not to.
Yeah, I make
to.
A point not to. If I do something, I don't tell anybody. If I end up bringing it up, it might be it might be in an illustrative manner
mm-hmm,
for some
mm-hmm.
other purpose. But
right.
It won't be.
But that
the way
be the Holy Spirit leading you then.
Right. Right.
You know?
Exactly. But going back to what Rochelle said about sometimes it being harder for you to show compassion to the people around you, that and how this has been a vein that's been going through a lot of the studies that you had, something happened to me today. Because, and I tell people all the time, so anybody that asks, when we go on the air, and Pastor Rosie is a witness, when we go on the air, 9 times out of 10, I don't know what we're going to be what we're going to be dealing with within anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour before we go in. God gives it to me as we get ready to go in. Mm-hmm. And tonight something happened, and it was like, and you are absolutely right, sometimes family members are the hardest ones to show compassion to. However, it's when you allow God to lead you. When we are listening to God.
That's it.
And God will direct us on what to
do.
And moms, sometimes we are harder in a weird way because we are mom. And y'all understand what I'm saying. When you're a mom, you are always on the front line. You're always on. You're always working. You're always trying to make everything do and make everything be and make it put everybody where they need to be, when they need to be there. We're always, and we're all, you know what I'm saying. Mom is always on, do. And a lot of the time, sometimes we forget to have compassion. A lot of the time we forget to have compassion because we're so busy doing. And it's the same thing with people in the church. We're so busy doing that we forget to be.
Yes.
Ooh,
that
we're
used
so
to be
busy
my
doing.
Word, be. Be.
Yeah. we're so busy doing that we forget to be. And today I heard God when he told me how to deal with a situation tonight. And I had to deal with it with compassion. Because what's that scripture that talks about laugh with those who laugh, cry with those who cry? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I can't remember the scripture. But
yeah,
it talks about being whatever people need you to be at that moment.
Oh, that was Paul saying that. Was that in Romans? But it was Paul saying that. I do know it was Paul.
Okay.
Who said that.
But you know what I'm talking about. It's about
being
whatever that person needs at that point.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's kind of like I used to have students when I first started teaching in the place that I used to teach. And that's like trying to teach a child when they're hungry. They ain't hearing you because they stomach talk.
Right.
When they sleepy because they were up all night because they were afraid mama's boyfriend was going to beat up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come to school and they sleep. Well, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Let the baby sleep. Because that baby got a whole lot of other issues going on. And the last thing he's trying to do is listen to you fuss about something.
Y'all
understand what I'm saying? And it's just like sometimes when people come to, quote, unquote, the house of, when they come into, quote, unquote, Christians or to, quote, unquote, church, they don't need you preaching to them. They just need a hug.
No, because they already know where they are.
They already know where they are. I remember one time where our church used to be, there were a lot of, there were prostitutes and drug dealers and stuff like that. They were in the neighborhood a lot. And I remember one Sunday morning before service, we would get there early to pray. And this lady came in, and it was pretty obvious that she lived on the street, that she not lived on the street, but that she worked the street. It was pretty obvious from the way she was dressed. And she sat in the back of the church, and she just cried. She was just crying. She wasn't making no noise, but you could see that her spirit was so heavy. And I walked back there,
And I just sat down next to her and put my arms around her. And she just cried. And I just held her. I didn't say nothing. I was just there for her to cry on. And when she finished crying, she got up and left. And we hadn't said a word. She didn't need me to say nothing. She just needed me to be there. She needed me to have compassion. Sometimes that's what God needs us to do. He just, you know what? Sometimes, if you look in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, God established, what was it, 9 or 12 cities of refuge. I can't remember whether it was 9 or 12. But he established cities of refuge for people to run to so that they could be safe. And sometimes, Pastor Rosa, this one's for you. Sometimes God needs us to be a city of refuge.
Amen.
Sometimes that's what God needs us to be, is a city of refuge. He needs us to be a beaver. Yeah, Lord. He needs us to be a beaver. He needs us to be a city of refuge. He needs us to just be a safe place that somebody can run to so they can get refilled, so they can get strength again to go back out and start fighting again. Am I making sense?
Well, very much so. Yeah, very much so.
Again, we're talking about compassion tonight. We're talking about compassion.
And this,
again, this ties in so well with Matthew chapter 5. It ties in so well with the Beatitudes. It ties perfectly in with that because these are all characteristics of who Jesus was.
When the
woman was caught in adultery, Jesus didn't stand there and preach to her, "Now, you know, you was wrong now, but, you know, don't do that no more, girl. And, yeah, you was wrong, and they had a right to kill you, you know, but, I mean, he didn't go through all them changes with that room. Jesus took a stick and started writing in the dirt. Jesus wasn't studying none of them. He took a stick and started writing in the dirt. And then when all of them were gone, he's like, "Did they leave?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, well, you know, go. Don't sin no more. Bye."
Wow.
Jesus was so cold. Jesus was just so cold, and that's why sinners came to him. That's why people who had issues came to him. Because going to the church, they knew they was getting ready to get condemned. They knew they were getting ready to get stoned. They knew they were going to get talked about, dogged out, judged, rejudged, and that's why they didn't want to go to the church. But they went to Jesus.
And those were the religious people who did it.
That's it.
To that woman.
That's it. It was the religious. It was the religious folks that did it to her. And, Jesus was just like, "Just don't do it no more, baby. It's all good." And those are the people that came to Jesus and they poured their love out. All like the one that broke the alabaster, the Mary that broke the alabaster box. That was a year's worth of wages. But
she
felt like he was worth it. She felt like everything she had, she was ready to give up. How much are we willing to give up for Jesus?
Amen. Amen.
Y'all jump in, because, I mean, this thing is getting good to me right now. Wow.
Well, I tell you, compassion is a huge, huge, huge word. It's fully packed. You know, if you think about it, Jesus, when he, just before he heals someone, or just before, remember when he multiplied the bread?
Yep.
So he fed the 5,000. his heart went out to them, and he showed compassion and on them, and he fed them. And before he did miracles, he showed compassion.
Yep.
Oh my goodness, I just turned here. You don't have to turn it, but Mark 8, this is the one about the bread. I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have eaten nothing. That's a form of showing pity. You know, that's a, you can say he had pity on them.
He had pity on
them. And so he, when that compassion showed, something happened. Compassion is a plural word. It's that's not the word. That's not the thing I want to mean. It's creative.
Yes.
He showed compassion on it. He sent them. Lazarus in the tomb. Did he not show compassion?
Yes. He wept.
I mean, yeah.
He wept.
And compassion covers everything, I think, a multitude of things, I should say.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, I think Matthew 9 and 36 is comparable to that Mark 8 verse. And it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And, you know, I saw that verse somewhere else a couple of weeks ago, and it struck me that he would call them sheep without a shepherd. It struck me because these were not unchurched, quote unquote, folks. These were Jews. They went to the synagogue. So technically they had a pastor. Technically they had a pastor. But he called them sheep without a shepherd. Wow. They were lost. They were wandering. They were clueless. They were unprotected. They were unprotected. And he said, wow. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I wonder if Jesus looked at people today, would he call them sheep without a shepherd? Even, matter of fact, no, let me put it even more succinctly. If Jesus were to look at the quote-unquote body of Christ today, would he call the body of Christ sheep without a shepherd?
Well, those people back then, excuse me, the ones, he called them sheep without a shepherd. Remember, their so-called shepherd were the religious crowd, and they were definitely not shepherds.
Okay, what about what we have today? Let's talk about this now. Now we do have some places where people are being fed, but what about the, remember, ain't but a remnant getting in.
I'm sorry, Mark, what did you say?
I said only a remnant, according to the book of Revelation, according to the word of God, only a remnant is going to make it in.
Yeah.
So the church, quote unquote, as a whole, what we see going on in the church as a whole, what we see with Christians today as a whole, I hate those crazy polls that they have on television. It's like in a poll, 51% of Christians don't believe the Bible. I don't believe that, but I do know that there are a lot of people that don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the Word of God. A lot of people that call themselves Christians that don't believe the Word of God.
Might I speak to that point, sort of, but kind of left field? I think something that I need to remember myself when I'm thinking about being compassionate is can't rely on my own heart.
Amen.
Because we know that the word says that the heart is wicked.
That's
and sometimes,
wicked.
I'm just being very honest, you know, if I'm dealing with my kids and something happens, my first gut emotion is, well, that's on you. Oh, well, you know, zero compassion. Zero compassion.
And you are not the only one.
Oh, you know, but I have to remember to look at my children and everyone who I'm dealing with the way that God would look at them, and not rely on my heart to be the measure of the compassion that I'm given, but His heart. And that's difficult, but it's a start, you know.
But that's why we have to stay in the Word. We have to, because it's easy for us to be jaded. It's easy to become jaded and hardened to the world. And I think that was what I was alluding to just a few minutes ago when I was talking about people not believing the Word of God. If you don't believe the Word of God, you're not going to read the Word of God. You're not going. If you don't read the Word of God, there is no way for it to change your heart and change your mind. If you're not reading the Word of God, you don't know the will of God, and you can't pray His will back to Him so that He can change not just the circumstances around us, but us as well. Amen?
Amen.
And Amen. That's the whole point and purpose. His Word, God's Word, is His last will and testament to us. That is His. That's what He wants us to know about Him. That's His love letter to us. So the more we read it, the more we understand Him, the more we get to know Him, the more we get to know Him, the more we become like Him. And mm-hmm. it's something that we can't do once a week. We can't brush the dust off of it on Sunday morning and take it to church for 2 hours and then come back home and put it back on the shelf and expect our lives to be impacted to the degree that they need to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to be changed. We need a bath. We need a bath in the blood. That's it has to happen daily. This has to be a daily bath. Just like you take a bath to get the funk off. Come on, be for real. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just like we have to take a bath, a physical bath, we have to take a spiritual bath. Think about where you've been all day.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but I've been dealing with crazy teenagers all day. And some of y'all might be dealing with crazy little children all day or crazy grown folks all day. You know, we're dealing with all types of people, issues, situations, circumstances. We're dealing with traffic. We're dealing with madness. We're dealing with bill collectors. We're dealing with everything under the sun. And everything is coming, trying to get us to think the way that it wants us to think and to change our attitudes and change our behaviors. But we need to have the mind of Christ and hold His thoughts, feelings, and purposes, those things of His heart. That's what we need to have.
Yeah.
And we get that from His Word every day.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's why we got to pray, ladies. We got to pray. And we got to hold the Word up as a mirror, showing us all of our imperfections, but showing us how to look like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need.
Amen.
Come on, ladies, jump in. Jump in. What's going on?
I'm just thinking about my own life and how many opportunities I have to show compassion in my house. Alone, just in my house.
All day, every
and
day, baby.
All day. There's so much opportunity for me to practice with this.
That's why God gave it to me.
And I was, right? And I was thinking, I was like, what does compassion look like to my husband? What does compassion look like to, you know, my eldest daughter? What does compassion look like to my neighbor? How would that manifest in action? And it's different. It's different for each and every one of them.
You're absolutely right.
So, you know, while I could sit and cry with my, you know, with my eldest daughter, I think my husband would appreciate if the tears just started streaming.
No. Oh, Lord. You know what? Your husband, your eldest daughter might appreciate you hugging her and crying with her, but your husband might appreciate you just making sure that the bedroom was clean and comfortable for him when he comes home. I'm just throwing it out
right.
there. I'm just,
right.
You know,
that's real.
I'm just saying, you just said it. For each person, it's going to be different. And how will you know what compassion looks like to them? You got to be in tune with God so he can tell you.
Right.
We have to be in tune. Just like, and the thing is, we have to be really listening. I've gotten to the point I'm trying to use my time wisely. I tell my students this all the time, and I was guilty of myself of not using my time wisely. And so I've been using my drive time in the morning to really listen to my Bible online and pray. That's the way I've been getting back into that loop of using that time wisely. And I got to work the other day, and God led me to anoint myself, and I had to go somewhere. I had to go to somebody's room to do something, or it was to go pick up something from my office. And I went over there, and I ran into someone, and they needed me to pray. I didn't know I was going to have to pray for nobody that morning, but God had me to have myself prepared spiritually, because I had been praying all morning. I had been praying in the spirit all morning. And God was able to put me where I needed to, where they needed me to be. He was able, I was able to be God's feet and his mouth and his heart that morning.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But we have to be ready for that, though. And the only way God can use us, okay, give you a good example. I hate going downstairs in the morning when I'm on my way out the door, and my favorite cup is dirty in the sink. I get mad first thing in the morning when I go to get my cup, and my cup is dirty. When God goes to get us off the shelf, are we dirty and he can't use us? And he got to use another vessel because his original vessel, his first choice, was unclean and unprepared. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That was you.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, wow. I tell you. Wow. And, my goodness.
We have to be ready in season and out of season. Go ahead, Rose. I'm sorry.
I'm just thinking. A lot of times, when I finally show compassion, the only way I was able to is that the Holy Spirit helped me, first of all, because I didn't want to.
Right.
But in my mind, I didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve it. They really didn't. But God showed me. He like put me in shoes. And I was able to see why they did what they did when they did it.
Wow.
And the only way I could show compassion on them, because I understood, and only God helped me to understand it, because I couldn't on my own. I just couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. And that person's shoes, and I was able to see. And, you know, I would like to give you another form of
another example, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I've had, this is not recent, this is years back, and I can say it years ago, and that way I won't step on anybody's feet. Years ago, a lot of teenagers, and not even teenagers, people in their 20s would talk to me about their parents. And these were dysfunctional, well, they had a dysfunctional family where the mother was mean to them, or the father was mean to them, or blah, blah, blah. And because of the Holy Spirit showing me how to show compassion at times, I was able to speak into their life.
Mm-hmm.
One example is this, so that I'm more clear. For those parents that were abusive, those parents that were yelling, and screaming, and cussing, parents who didn't want to help the child felt more like the parent than anything else. So I was able to sit them down and get them to see. With a lot of questions, get them to see that it was not a tradition, something that you carry from one to another. Their parents was like that, so they learned that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents were like that, so their parents' parents learned that behavior.
That generational curse.
What I'm trying to think of, it just went down, 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 and it landed on them. And
mm-hmm.
when they truly came to me, they were open. So when they saw that lineage, they were able to have pity on them versus
mm-hmm.
hate. They were able to have compassion. Now, that compassion
yes.
didn't last all the time. But most
right.
of the time, they were able to have compassion on them because they understood where that mess was coming from, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
they like, walked in their shoes. That's what I meant by what I said earlier.
Yeah.
And
that's what we in church, especially as leaders in ministry, in church
right.
and out of church, that's what we have to do. We have to be able to hear God
yes.
and allow
yes.
him to use us to bring healing and
yes.
to bring compassion to not just people, but situations and circumstances. We have to allow
mm-hmm.
God. We have to be clean vessels
mm-hmm.
ready for use.
Yeah.
So that he can use, because we never know when he's going to use us.
Yeah.
We
and,
never
and,
know.
And,
go ahead. I'm
sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I'm glad you brought that up about leaders in churches, because leaders in churches are ministering to other people. Now, leaders, that includes pastors, bishops, deacons.
That's right.
Who a leader is, and you mentioned the word clean up. You are absolutely right. They have to, a part of that cleanup is a process, because they have baggage, and they have
yep.
got to open that baggage and examine it, and they have got to understand what's going on there so that they can release it, because they cannot minister to someone else effectively.
You're right.
When
a lot of them out there bleeding on people. Because they've been hurt themselves. A lot of them out there just bleeding all over people. And, you know, they hurt people.
Yes, that's true. Hurt people, that's good. That is so true. Hurt people.
And they do. And they don't mean
that,
to. They're not being mean.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah, but you understood what I said,
or
was that confusing?
No, you made sense.
Wow.
You made sense. And that's And again, as leaders, and not even just as leaders, but as lovers of Jesus. If we love Jesus like we say we love Jesus, then we should look like him.
Amen.
We should act like him. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
We should reflect him.
That's right.
You know, I'll never forget when I first got saved, there was a lady, God bless her, God bless her soul. She was an older lady. And she was mean as a rattlesnake. I have no doubt that she loved Jesus on some level. But she was just downright mean. I was afraid about being around her because she was always so negative. I don't like negative people.
Yeah.
She was just so negative. And stuff like that turns people away from Christ. Yeah. It almost turned me away from Christ.
Yeah.
So if we I'm going to say this, and if we remember, and I think this is a problem that a lot of Christians have, we get amnesia. We get saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and we forget we used to be a hoe. I ain't judging nobody. But you forget when you used to go creeping in the middle of the night. You know, you forget when you know you had to go get you that hit every now and then, or you had to go get you that weed every now and then. We forget. We get that holy amnesia. So, you know, when you used to wear dresses that was a little too tight, a little too short, and showing a little bit too much, when you had that baby before you got married, I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just saying, sometimes we get a little bit of amnesia, and we forget. I'm talking about compassion now. I'm talking about compassion. We forget where we came from. When I went through all the stuff I went through before I got saved, I asked God, don't never let me forget.
Amen.
I don't ever want to forget where I've been, because that allows me to have compassion. That reminds me of how I felt when people used to look at me and I was 9 months pregnant and didn't have a wedding ring on my finger. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
I don't ever want to forget how I felt. Because that helps me to have compassion on the ones that I see now. But see, again, a lot of folks get that quote-unquote holy amnesia, and they want to judge people, and they want to, and they might not even recognize what it is they're doing. But see, some folks, they try to rewrite history. Like, that wasn't me, you know. Oh, that wasn't me. That was my twin sister, you know, or something like that. We have to remember because, see, people don't always, what's that saying? People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
That's right. They need to know.
I found that a lot of people need to know that you've been there. Not that you heard about it, not that you went to seminary, not that you done read the Bible 3 times all the way through, not that you can necessarily speak in tongues, not that you can cut a good step or sing a good solo, but they need to know that you really have compassion and understand where they're at.
Amen. That's right.
That's what folks need to know. They need to know how much you really care.
Amen. Sister Robin.
Hey, yes, ma'am. Hey, everybody. Praise
God.
This is a blessing.
Hi.
Hey, I thank God for the opportunity to listen in on this because this is truly a blessing to me. I'm just bringing my son back from a basketball game, and they won. Praise God. Yeah.
Well, praise God.
And as I was coming back, I was thinking, you know, wow, I could have went to church. I had a little bit of time, but I had already passed the exit,
And then I thought, oh, there's Blog Talk Radio. Praise God. praise God for Proverbs 31 women. They are on the line, and I am going to catch some of that tonight, God. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
But as I was coming up the road, I was thinking about, you know, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me about some things, you know, that he wanted to clean up in me. And I was just thinking, uh-oh, I guess it's time to clean some house, God. And, you know, and we all need those times where the Spirit of God comes and he tells us, you know, you got to clean up some things.
Amen.
And, if you don't clean up some stuff, you're going to start carrying some stuff. And then when you start carrying some stuff, you're not going to be as effective minister as I would have you to be. And I thank God for what you were saying, Rosie, because, you know, you start putting that luggage back in your suitcase that God told you to unload and unpack.
All right.
So that he can clean you up and fill you up with the Holy Ghost so he can use you and be that vessel that he's called you to be. But, if we're not careful, we start loading that old junk back in the suitcase and then cannot relate because we've forgotten, like you said, where we've come from or where that we've forgotten the rock from which we were hewn or taken apart from. And so, you know, God doesn't want that for any of us. And
Amen.
I know that when I'm, you know, when I'm a clean vessel, I know when I'm a clean vessel and I know when I'm a dirty vessel. Let me just say that.
We can't
hide that, you know, from God.
Nope.
You know, because God sees all. God sees
yes,
it. And so I just thank God for the Holy Ghost of God to ring my bell and say, okay, now, you got to let something up in here or put something back up in there it shouldn't be. You got to let that go. Don't let that jump back on you, because what happens is when you start getting around people that God wants you to minister to, you can't minister effectively to them, and Christ can't be seen. And so, therefore, there is no compassion. Because people are so busy looking at you, and they're so busy looking at us, they can't see Christ. But, you know, we think about those things.
I just want to throw this out there. Now, Sister ain't been on the line for about 5 or 10 minutes. And basically, didn't she just sum up what we've been talking about all night?
Yeah.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. Now, that's how you know the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the same, and he flows through all of us.
Amen.
She just jumped on the line, and she ain't heard nothing that we said all night, but about 5 minutes, and she just encapsulated everything that we said.
Hallelujah.
That's all the goal. And
you know what we've
been talking about this whole new year is exercising your spirit, man, because we've been talking about the fact that, you know, everybody want to go and exercise their physical body right now, lose that weight, get that body together for the summertime, whatever. But what about your spirit, man?
All right.
That eternal man needs to exercise too. And we get that exercise in our spirit, man, by reading the Word of God, by washing with the Word of God, by praying, exercising our prayer muscle. Amen. Exercising our prayer muscle. That's what we need to be doing. That's how we need to get this done. Okay.
Amen.
Just like we've been saying all night, we need to be that clean vessel, because we never know when God is going to need us to be used. He's got us on the shelf, just like me and my morning cup. And I can't find up my morning cup is dirty half the time. It makes me mad. Well, when God goes to pick us up off the shelf, are we dirty? Are we unready? Are we not ready to be used? Are we unclean?
Okay.
He can't use
us.
Then he got to go to plan B. I don't want God to have to go to plan B with me.
I know that's right.
My husband talks about this all the time. He said, there are thousands of people that are tied to you. There are thousands of people that are tied to each one of us. If we are not prepared, if we're not ready, it might be a crucial moment that God needs us to minister to somebody. But I ain't ready.
I haven't been praying. I haven't been washing with the water of the word. I done got in my feelings. You know, I'm stressed out, carrying stuff that don't belong to me. I got big mountains on my shoulders. You know, I'm going through all my issues and situations, and I can't hear.
All right now.
It's not just about me. It's about those people that are tied to me. And I'm talking about each one of us, everybody who's listening to this, everybody who's going to be listening in the archives. I'm talking to you, too. You got people tied to you. What is God? I'm not saying that God doesn't have a plan B, but you were his original plan. Actually, God don't have a plan B for you. Actually, he doesn't. Actually, you were the original plan. So if you move out the way, what happens to those people that are tied to you? If you're not prepared, you're not ready. I can't minister to people that are tied to Rosie because they ain't going to hear me. They were given to Rosie for a reason. I can't minister to people that my Kia needs to minister to. I can't minister to them. I can't minister to people that Robin needs to minister to. I can't minister. They're not for me to minister to.
That's right.
They're for you to minister to. People for Rochelle to minister to. People for kids to minister to. It's people for y'all to minister to. If you're not in place, who going to minister to them?
All right.
That's
a deep moment. Amen. What if somebody dies in that crucial moment that God needed us to be prepared and clean and ready, and somebody slips into eternity before I get myself together and am able to be used by God? That is a soul, an eternal soul lost because I was out of place.
My God.
Amen. Wow.
A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. It's one of my favorite hymns, but it's also one that reminds me of the weight of being a child of God, the weight of being a follower of Christ, a disciple of Jesus. There is a responsibility that goes along with that. We must always be ready and be vigilant. We got to keep our vessels clean because we don't ever know when the master may have need.
Amen. That's right.
Well, ladies, the time is growing short. Does anybody have anything that they want to say before we go ahead and close this out tonight?
This has been a good, very good Bible study. I tell you.
Amen.
It calls us to get the word compassion again and to get our inner man. You know, at least for me personally,
Amen. Amen. Anybody else got anything they want to say? Before Sister Rochelle prays? Amen.
Help me in the spirit.
Amen. Well, praise God.
Amen.
Sister Rochelle, I gave you a week warning.
You sure did.
Amen.
It's all good. You go on and pray, girl. You go on and pray.
All right.
Amen.
Father, thank you for this Bible study. Thank you for everyone that's on the line right now and everyone who will be listening. Father,
Amen.
We just thank you for the compassion that you have showed each and every one of us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for eternal life. Father, I pray that with the Bible study tonight and all that we have learned, that we don't just hang up the call and never remember this again. I pray that we are able to show compassion in our daily life to the people on the street as well as to the people in our home. I pray that we take the time to understand their needs, whether it's hunger or a shoulder to cry on, that we are able to offer that to them. Father, I pray that we are also able to remember to read your word so that we are clean vessels, so that you may use us to the glory of your kingdom, Father. It's nothing we want more than to serve you. You are our Father. You are our King. We want to please you, Lord.
Thank
we thank you for
God.
Everyone on this call and your teaching.
Thank
we pray
you,
in Jesus' name that we continue to be, Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I reiterate what Sister just prayed. I just reiterate that. Thank God for everyone on this line. And I just thank God for all that was poured out tonight. This was beautiful. Everything that was poured out from everyone tonight. I thank God for each one of you pouring out and sharing. And I thank God that this is going to be preserved because somebody is going to hear this. And they're going to recognize this is what they needed. Yokes are going to be broken. Chains are going to be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Captives will be set free by the word spoken tonight in the name of Jesus. We declare it, we decree it, and we speak it into existence in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I thank God for each one of you, ladies. I love y'all so much. I bless God for each one of you, and I can't wait till we get back here next week. Amen.
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 I love y'all, sisters.
See you next week.
Love you.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye. Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.